This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for being with us this afternoon. And thank you for joining me. And I have a very, very amazing guest in the studio with us this afternoon. I've had him on before, Pastor Ulrich Strauss, and he has he's the pastor and established Loftal Restoration Centers for Men and Women and Halfway Houses in Cape Town. And he has got a remarkable thing happening soon. He is launching his book called The Prodigal, and we are so excited to hear what he's got to share. I don't want to give it away. I think he's going to have to share his journey over the past 18 years. And he has really started an amazing concept called the Freedom Conferences. They have, as a team, put this together. As you know, that this is the month of awareness for those that have struggled with addiction and substance abuse, and there is a road to freedom through these conferences. So I really would like us to hear what you've got to say, Pastor Ulrich. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Wow, what a pleasure. Thank you for having me again, Renette, and all the Radio Cape Pulpit people. Thank you for having us.
Fantastic. But we're going to quickly play out with something right now, and a beautiful track, and we will catch up with you straight after this. Thank you for being with us this afternoon, family. And we really have got a very touching topic this afternoon. And I know many of our families have been affected by substance abuse and drug addiction. And we have Pastor Ulrich Strauss from Loftal International with us this afternoon. And he has a remarkable, incredible journey himself, from being the prodigal, and how the Lord has absolutely brought him into complete restoration with a beautiful wife and family. And he has got such an amazing story to share, and I cannot wait for you people to be encouraged by this, because I too have had loved ones that have struggled over the years. And you know, if this is just wonderful when we can get to a point of healing and trusting the Lord for that. So Pastor Ulrich, just share with us. I know you're launching this beautiful, incredible book, but share your journey first, and then we can talk about the book a little bit later.
Excellent. Yes, so I think every good story has got three components to it.
Yes.
When I'm talking about the good story, I'm talking about somebody coming out of dark background and really having to find a redemptive component. And because, you know, many of us, we don't feel that we've got a story to tell, you know, but everyone, each and every one of us, each and every family,
yes,
each and every person on planet Earth has got some kind of redemptive component to his life. Everyone needs salvation.
Amen.
Everyone needs to be saved. Everyone needs to be set free. Everyone needs bondages broken. Everyone needs trauma of the past, hurt, situation, void, all of that. Everybody needs that broken in their life. So we don't just look at somebody who's coming out of prison, who's maybe served almost a couple of life sentences, but you also look at that perfect family living up here, or living in the Bishop's Courts and living in the Durbanvilles and living in the Stellenbosches and living in all of the, each and every one of us has got some kind of redemptive component that we need in life. Everyone needs salvation. And so I want to give you three portions to my story.
Please do.
The dysfunction is the first part of it, and then the downward spiral, and then the redemption. That makes a good story, you know. And so when you look at the dysfunction that I went through, I had a mom. I've got a brother. He's my, I call him my blood brother, Brunil Strauss, also a radio station manager out at Radio NFM. He's got radio stations, different places. He's in a wheelchair. And there's an amazing storyline that's in the book with regards to him as well. And so my mom had Brunil. He was living out in Worcester. And my dad had a son from my mom's friend, and he popped in with my mom, and I think he must have been with my mom. They were a couple of months. I heard from my aunt, who's turning 80 the end of this November, that my mom and my dad actually stayed together for about a month or two or three, something like that. But he popped in by my mom over a festive season. That's why it was the 16th of September. And so, you know, I was a Christmas baby. And most people are born in September.
There's a whole lot of birthdays coming up.
And so that's what happened. My sister, who my dad had impregnated the lady after my mom. My sister is a couple of months younger than me. So try to imagine what I'm talking about.
Yes,
and so my dad moved quickly. He had my sister, my brother, and my younger brother from another woman, and he got married to her in Hanover Park. I was born in Hanover Park, at Hanover Park Day Hospital.
Yes.
Now, 50 years ago, most people were born there.
Wow, that's interesting.
Hanover Park. So if you lived in Mitchell's Plain or around that area, everybody was really born there.
Out of Hanover.
In actual fact, my wife was also born in Hanover Park Hospital.
Wow.
And that's a couple of years, obviously, afterwards. And so the dysfunction that I lived in was that we must have moved house about 10 or 15 times in about 3 or 4 years. So we lived in Lansdowne, then we lived in Crawford, then it was Mitchell's Plain, and then within Mitchell's Plain we lived in Lentegier, Portland, Westridge, lived in all those different areas. We moved from there, lived in Kraaifontein, then we lived in Maitland, Kensington, different areas. So that's the kind of gypsy dysfunction.
Yes, and that just never landed anywhere.
I had a mom who had cancer at the time, and then she had major back issues, lower back issues. So that was challenging as well. So I lived with a neighbor, I lived with her friends, I lived with some people here and there, and that was the kind of dysfunction that I grew up in. When I used to go to Worcester at the time, there was not much English spoken in Worcester, and my grandmother, who had purple hair at the time, Elizabeth, they used to call her Pop, my Pop, was Afrikaans first language. And here comes this boy who's English first language, and he comes there and he tells and he speaks to his grandmother and says you, and immediately you know that's not on. And she would say things like, I need to say it in Afrikaans. She would say, Gaan nie weg jou onbeskofte, onseelike, lelike hoerkind. Jy is niks werd, jy sal niks ooit doen in jou leven nie. I do translate it in the book.
Of course.
So you read it in there. But that's the kind of stuff she said, because she had all the ignorance that people grew up with, not knowing how to really speak. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love to use it, they will eat its fruit. And most of us speak death, we don't speak life. That's why the word says death and life, not life and death. The world is prone, society is prone to speak death.
First
death. And we had to learn that you need to start speaking, you need to speak life. So the day I went into rehab, I started speaking positive, I started speaking life.
Wow.
All the negative words that my friend said, you are the devil's child. You are the best drug addict we know. You are the worst. You are this. I used to agree to that, because if you did never ever heard anything positive about yourself,
you partner with it.
You partner with it. You say, yes, I am. That's what I am and that's what I will be. And so the dysfunction in my life was that we lived everywhere. I lived with everyone besides with my mom at the time because my mother had major issues. She worked at Grand Bazaars years ago. Now, if you're 50 and up, you'll know what we're talking about.
Yes,
the young people don't know what Grand Bazaars is, but my mom worked there for a very low wage because she and her sister took care of the 8 other children when they lived up in the Northern Cape in Upington, Kakamas. We were there a couple of years ago. And Kennard actually. And so my mom had all those issues, and you had a boy who went to school at York Road Primary, one of the top schools there in Lansdowne at the time. And we lived in a one-bedroom separate entrance, which is as big as this office that we are in here now. It's a bed in there. It's a little fridge in there. And then there's a cupboard in there. And then my aunt came and moved in with us for a couple of months as well. And we had the long drop outside. So that was the dysfunction we had. And so I used to go to school, and everybody at school, they had everything that you could ever think of. They had the house, the car, the cat, the double story. They had mom and dad bringing them to school. And here Ulrich was walking to school. I grew up with a low self-esteem. Everybody needs to know what the issue is in life, what it's been, what's the root issue is. If you don't know what the root is, you'll never be able to deal with the root, and you will always bear fruit. And so I grew up with those situations, looking at other children and thinking, why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? Why can't I have this? And the downward spiral happened at 13. I was stealing. I was doing this. I was doing everything. You know, we had those little Pac-Man watches those years.
Yes, I remember that.
And I used to play those games. I used to steal money so that I can buy for my friends so that they could like me. And I would want to buy them a Donkey Kong game so that I could be your best friend. You know, those little Donkey Kong games, those Mario Brother games. And buy that so that they could like me. And at 13, the first drink of Red Hot Rum at a cricket function, it took me immediately to alcoholism.
Immediately to
alcoholism. So all the issues that this boy had, it all came down to a spiral at 13 years old when I had that first drink of Red Hot Rum. I lost my inhibitions. I spoke to ladies that I never did. I danced on tables. I vomited the next morning in one of the, I won't mention his name, but he was Cricket South Africa's president. He will laugh if he has to hear this. Vomited in his vehicle, in his Escort, red Escort. You know, if you had a red Escort, you were a top guy.
Yeah.
And that was the kind of dysfunction that I had at that time. Everything was lost, and my mom was here and there. I had to live with this one. I had to live with that one. I had to be with this one. I had to go to the school. Then I had to go to Groenvlei. Then I went to Castlesley. It was a whole dysfunctional situation. And so when buttons came, I was an immediate button cop.
Yes.
A drug addict, a mandrax. Because the euphoria that you had, it took away all the pain and the heartache and everything. So the spiral came from the alcoholism, and it went into the buttons. Then it came to Tuck and LSD, crystal meth.
Crystal meth is of course Tuck.
And then everything you can think of, heroin we snorted. We did everything that you could possibly do. I did it on planet Earth. And what happened was...
That you still alive, only God's hand.
38 kilograms I weighed. I was shot and stabbed a couple of times. You can see the stab marks here.
Yes,
stabbed three times, wanted to kill me, put the heat out for my life, shot me, the shrapnel that went on the back of my head over here. So God had his hand on me. You know, I think of it like this, that last year I was 50 last year. And I understand that God had given me grace,
yes,
to be able to be multiplied.
Wow.
And I've seen in last year how God multiplied the grace in my life. And even this year, in this Jubilee, full Jubilee year, I believe, you see, you need to take the word and you need to grab it and you need to manifest and and run with it, yes.
Yes.
You have to run with the vision. Only if you see the vision can you be able to run with the vision. Mm-hmm. And so I had taken it and I've made it part and I manifested in my life. And so the downward spiral was I went to prison, out of prison. My mom was always there. My mom was always praying for me, always encouraging me. She would throw me with oil. She would put oil in my clothes. She would put oil on my sheets. She would put oil on the pillow. She would throw the oil everywhere. And I never understood what she was busy doing with, but this was a mother who from young age was there, you know, and I speak about it later on. We'll speak about the mother.
So
what happened is I weighed 38 kilograms. I had lost everything and I was almost dead a couple of times. And then we got to the point where the redemption took place. My mom had been praying and everyone had been praying, and this what culminated everything into the place was an interdict, a court order, black bags outside, you cannot come in here, my friend seeing me at the robots not coming, and everyone's prayers were culminating together to get this prodigal to come to the place where he's going to lie with the pigs and come to his senses.
Amen.
That's where I came to. And one day at the rehab, I had made a decision. You see, I'm 100% guy. If I'm an addict, I'm an addict.
You give it all.
I give everything and more. And when I realized I could go home, I said, I'm not ready. I screamed, Lord, help me with this effing drugs. I'll do anything for you. I'll even work for you. Set me free. And God broke everything off my life just like that. He broke addiction. He broke hurt. He broke the trauma. He broke every situation that was in my life up until that day. He broke it off me. It was like the anointing that removed the burden and took the yoke from off my neck, took that burden from off my shoulder, took the yoke from off my neck. And by the power of the anointing, he had broken the yoke and he had destroyed that burden. And never ever has it come back again.
Yeah. That is so powerful. Gosh, that is so encouraging. And that is just calling out at your darkest moment, calling out to Abba Father. And he came and he showed up and he did what you asked him to do. Praise the Lord. We are going to take a break right now, but wow, you're going to share with us, Pastor Ulrich. Thank you for being so transparent. Thank you for being with so vulnerable and really giving the lowdown of life. But what God has done in your life is remarkable. And the fact that you're living is absolutely a miracle. So we're going to follow up with this straight after with your book, and you're going to tell us about the prodigal. Thank you for being with us this afternoon, family and friends. We have got the most phenomenal journey of life, of being redeemed, and how the Lord has used Pastor Ulrich in the last 18 years, is your journey. He's now launching a beautiful book about his life story, and he's going to share a little bit about that. And he is just so encouraging how in his darkest moments, he called out to the Lord and even made a promise that he's going to work for him. And then the Lord took him and just zapped him and said, come, now we're going to use you. And he's written the book called The Prodigal. So Pastor Ulrich, thank you for joining us this afternoon. You're absolutely such an inspiration. So just share with us, why have you written the book Prodigal?
Yeah. Look, so God spoke to me 18 years ago already. He said, write a book. But he didn't say when.
Mm.
And so I was busy working on this and that and the other thing. And last year, God said, right now, this is the time to write. At 32, I didn't really know much about life. So what could I write? You know, I just had got redemption, but I haven't really lived it. I haven't really built capacity in it. I haven't really matured in it. I haven't really gotten to the place where whatever I'm going to speak or whatever I'm going to write is going to bring full deliverance.
Wow.
I wanted to see full deliverance happen in this ministry before we write the book. And we've seen it. We've had prophecies years ago about how we would see instantaneous deliverance, which we've seen over the last 2-3 years. God has really done it. And I believe that's why this is the right time that anybody who would read the book, take the principles that we've given in the book, and then also take the scriptures that we have in that book and really manifest it in their lives. They will see deliverance, not just in addiction, but in each and every area of their lives, especially mothers. I've seen it happening. I watched a movie now the other day. My wife watched it with me. It's a secular movie, Beautiful Boy. It's about a boy that's on heroin and that. And the main part of it was when the dad got to the place where he understood that he cannot do it for his son. That was the key.
That is key.
And so I've got 7 chapters in the book. I believe 7 for perfection and completion. And so the chapters, I might even just quickly just give you
yes,
the chapters.
Please do.
The first chapter is Who Am I? Because getting into that dysfunction, I had no idea who I
no
was.
No identity.
No identity. And that's the key thing in there about Jacob being the manipulator, the stealing, conning. That was really my life. And then the second chapter is Anything That Is Lost Can Be Found. Anything lost can be found. And if you look at Luke 15, not just the part of the prodigal, but when you look at the coin that was lost, the worth was not lost, that sheep that was lost, you know, and the rejoicing about all of that, that's the key there. And then we speak about the prodigal itself. The prodigal itself, we are weighing 38 kilograms and we had lost everything that was important to me that I thought at the time. Then we talk about the love of a mother, and I'm gonna talk about that, the love of a mother. And then we've got It's a Good Friday. I came to the Lord. I got born again. I was set free on a Good Friday. It was
Goodness,
Good Friday.
Wow.
On Good Friday 2006, I was in the rehab and God touched me that day. I left the rehab on the 25th of May, Ascension Day. A friend of mine, Adrian, fetched me from rehab. That was the day I actually left. And then we've got Forgive to Be Forgiven, and then All Things Work Together for a New Man.
Wow.
And I believe that that's a full circle for someone who really, it's not a big book, it's a book for anybody to
yes,
be able to can
to read.
Easy to read. It's got enough content in. It's quite a book. But you can read it in a day. If you start this morning and you can finish it, you know.
Because and which we wanted, most people need
they
in today.
Need that.
They cannot labor too long.
Life is
just too busy.
Yeah, you can't. Because I mean, there's another book coming out where I speak on momentum brings deliverance in your life.
Wow.
When you pick up momentum in everything in the Lord, in spiritual momentum, spiritual capacity, you break things off you without people having to lay hands on you.
Yeah.
That's a key book we're gonna write next
Powerful.
Year. Momentum brings deliverance. You know,
cannot
momentum
wait.
In the word, momentum in joy, momentum in fruit, momentum in anything. You know, when Paul was in with the Philippians, he said no joy, then there was joy, more joy, much joy. Then it's rejoice. I'll say it again. And rejoice.
Yeah,
then they speak about
that book.
Joy unspeakable, full of glory, the end of your faith.
Yeah.
You, when God gives you joy, immediately you have unspeakable joy. The lady was at the well. She got some water. Jesus offered her and he said, listen, this water, if you drink this water, we'll never ever thirst again. But this water will become within you a wellspring of life, bubbling up, springing up into eternal life. So he gave her water, but immediately she became a well. So you got momentum. Everybody's got momentum. And so the love of a mother is the Vicky, I dedicate the book to my mother, because wow. if it wasn't for that woman, the woman I hated as a young boy, where's my dad? Where's this? Why don't we have that? Why can't I live with you? Why have to? Do I have to live with this one and that one? Why do I have to go through all it? Why this, that? That and the other thing. I threw her out of my house about 3 times. Go stay by your cell sisters, go stay to church people. All that. I hated my mother. I said, yo, imsa, ifsa, pisa, ditsa, datsa, dingas. I held them hostage, her and her husband, and I took all the money from them when we lived
just
together.
To,
also,
yes,
you know,
just to do your
we
thing.
Did whatever
like
I did.
Vengeance.
5 years of the best years of her life was 2006 till she passed away in 2010. And she, I write in the book as well, and I say all the redemptive power there was when God touched me with his agape love. And I could go to my mother and tell her, you know what, I'm sorry about everything. For the first time in my life, I could show love to her. Because before that, everything was superficial. It was all the other kind.
Manipulated.
All manipulative love, yes. Mm-hmm. Everything. But that day when God touched my life, you see, we need an encounter. I preached about it yesterday at our campus, LWPC. I said, when the love of God, the perfect, there's no fear in love. But when the perfect love of Christ drives out all fear, that's where you have love for other people. Sure. And so the love of a mother is the key chapter. It's a Good Friday, and obviously the prodigal man, that thing is packed up with enough scripture that was within me. I wrote the book in 3 weeks.
Wow.
So I had everything cooking up in here.
Yes, you were loaded.
And I just sat down for 3 weeks. My wife allowed me, and I went through the night and I wrote that book in 3 weeks. 3 weeks it was done. And so when I look at what the content is, it's really for any kind of redemptive nature.
Yes,
any kind of redemptive nature, not just addiction. It's for anyone that's struggling with unforgiveness towards their children, anyone that's struggling with unforgiveness towards their parents, anyone that's in addiction, anyone that's got a supporter or that is a sponsor for somebody or that need help, that is really for them. And so I believe that God's really going to touch people, we like we say with the book launch and all of that, we want people to really come out and to come check it out.
That is going to be incredible.
Yes.
But just share, so where are you going to be? What platforms are you going to put the books on? And then also, you know, you can just, but I think we can share about the conference, because I would like to talk about the conference, because that's going to be the combination of the launch and the conference is going to be vital about really co-joining and seeing the vision that you will have had and the book launch. But I think we're going to take the break and then we can talk about that, because I really want you to tell us who are you targeting? Who are you inviting? I mean, I can think of teachers, principles, whatever is going to be going to benefit from attending a conference like that. So we're going to play out with something now, and we're going to enjoy it, and we will be joining Pastor Ulrich Strauss from Lofthal International with his powerful vision that they've had as a team for these conferences. As you know, this is September is the awareness for all substance abuse and addictions. So we're just going to celebrate that with them, and we know that this is time for change. So we will join you straight after this. Thank you for being with us this afternoon, and we've just had such an action-packed program up until now with Pastor Ulrich Strauss from Lofthal International, and him and his team have developed a conference that they've been doing for a while, and it's just had huge impact on so many people, and he's written this book, The Prodigal. So they're doing a book launch now in towards the end of September, the 28th. If I'm correct, and just hear what they're about, because this is absolutely so encouraging of the miracles and wonders that they've experienced on this journey. And Pastor Ulrich, you have really got a remarkable testimony. So how did the conferences Where did this come from?
Yeah. So when it's just like I said, when I did my testimony earlier on, you have to have certain components in every kind of redemptive nature, in any kind of restorative aspect or rehabilitation or anything like that. You need components. You cannot just have one or two or three. You need primary, secondary, and tertiary. Every child needs to go through primary school. They need to go to secondary school. They need to go to tertiary. Not everybody gets to tertiary, but somehow they have a tertiary component. And when we look at rehabilitation or restorative programs, wanting to get people back from where they stopped their emotional intelligence at 10 years old or 12
and
or 13 years old, we need to go back there and fetch them. We need to go back to the root issues, the root challenges, all of those things. And so therefore we've got primary care. Primary care is really just rehabilitation. Primary care can be your counseling. Primary can be your outpatient. Primary can be some kind of intervention. Then you've got secondary care. Secondary care is a reintegrated aspect or component. There must be a reintegration. If there's no reintegration, then it's difficult. It's like me sending somebody from a rehabilitation back home and there's no support and there's nothing. There's no church. And then you get tertiary. So God helped us to do tertiary first.
Okay.
We started with support and aftercare first. We had one group for 3 years and then we multiplied into 4 or 5 groups. So we got about 20, 25 groups all over South Africa, Western Cape, in Africa. So within the Western Cape, we got in different areas, Belhar, Delft, there's Steenberg, there's Parkhood, there's Kraaifontein, about 4 of them. Different other areas. We got out in Versantakraal, Klipjeville, Franschhoek, Stellenbosch. Support and aftercare. These are not all Lofdal, but these are all that Lofdal started.
Yes,
you
birthed them and you...
All kingdom business.
Yes.
No name attached, no Ulrich there, but we started those groups for them. We went out, we did training for them. So with my training manual that we've got over there, we developed that training manual over the years. And we go out and do that. So in Oudtshoorn, Beaufort West, Johannesburg South at Mount Carmel Ministries. We've got out in Lodium at Bethesda Revival Church. Then in Namibia. Namibia is such an amazing testimony. We just got word 2 weeks ago that the whole of Namibia is taking freedom training and they're going to roll out that there. Even in Swakopmund at the moment and Walvis Bay, the Rhenish Church has taken up all of our information and they're running in the September. They're ministering just on addiction and stuff. So we got about 50, 60 guys that are clean out in Namibia. And it's at their churches, Gospel Mission Church. They chain breakers. There's no Lofdal there, but we go out and do. You see, this is the key for any ministry. This is the key for any pastor. If you're an apostle.
Apostle anointing on you.
Yeah, if you got the apostolic on you, go send, but establish. But don't try and put your name there. You don't need to. Just do God's work.
Yeah.
And God will supply everything for you. So primary, secondary, tertiary care, that's what we started out with to try and help people. And then we developed the conferences over the last 10 years. We started our first conference. I think my wife and I, we just got married at that time. And we had our first conferences at that time and the year before that as well. I remember Joel, he was just born. And so at the conferences, we've seen the capacity in the spirit, of course, where we at the place where we see people getting set free just like that. Just one testimony quickly.
Sure,
Heidefeld.
Please.
Heidefeld. We launched a Hope Out Loud 3 weeks ago in Bontheville, but we were in Heidefeld 3-4 months ago. So there's a leader there, Ursula and Eswin and Pastor Gail and them, they are out there. But we go and assist them. And one of the ladies that came out of the Heidefeld outreach, she and her husband, I'm not sure, but they both set free in one of the services.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And they are now going and helping in Bonteville.
Yes.
So that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people getting set free just like that. But praise then Lord. Going to primary, secondary, and tertiary. Yes. Primary is only rehab. We can't just have rehabs.
Yes, what happens afterwards?
In actual fact, most rehabs are closing down. I don't know what's going on with the government, but many government institutions have closed down. 18 years ago when I went to the government, I said, let me help you guys with support in aftercare and ministry. Yes, I became a master trainer with Siyabulela, with Kimoja. I did all the UWC stuff. I did all those trainings with Sanka as well. But they said, no, we don't need this. And now they're coming to us for help.
Yes.
Because you see, the church and the kingdom has the answers.
Amen.
We must stop waiting for the government to do something for us. Because they're not going to do anything for us.
Yes.
They'll put a lot of red tape around it. And yes, we got to apply everything. And we have to regulate and we have to come. And so we're busy with registrations and all of that now. But you cannot wait for anyone to give you something to do something.
Yes.
You got to use what you got.
Amen.
David used the slingshot to kill Goliath. It was no supernatural interference or supernatural waving of a cloak or something that happened. He actually took the slingshot that he killed the bear.
Mm.
You see, he had reference of what he did to the bear, what he did to the lion, what he could do. You need reference to what you can do. So stop looking at what you don't have and start doing whatever God wants you to do with what you've got. And we've got a team, an amazing team. We're not a big team. We're about 7, 8, 9, maybe 10. And then we've got other guys connected from that minister on ENCA. We got Pastor Eddie from Parkwood, an amazing ministry out there, Reconnect. They do amazing stuff there. But we are connected everywhere. Got guys in Nanova Park. So we don't do everything. We get people that can do what we need to do.
Yeah, extra hands.
That's
and
it.
They're the outlet.
And
you will just orchestrate and put it together.
Yes. We don't invent no new wheels.
New wheels. Wonderful.
And that's why we ask the people. We see many people starting out with support and aftercare and starting out with rehabilitation. And we say, come, we can help you. And many of those go down just like that.
Mm.
It's the same like with some of the guys I know that has written books years ago, 3 years clean, 4 years clean, and many of them in depression, in addiction, lost. Got absolutely nothing now because you need to build capacity in the spirit.
Right.
And so freedom conferences, this freedom conference is only a one night freedom night.
Mm.
But then the second day is a training from 9. So the 27th of September is freedom night. People will come and be set free from any kind of condition, any mental condition, any kind of addiction. We pray for illness, sickness, and disease, and we've seen supernatural. We've seen God do the supernatural in these meetings where people get set free. So it's not just about addiction. And then the 28th.
Just miracles and wonders.
It's miracles, signs, and wonders. We've seen that happen. And then the 28th, from 9 till 12, we will have training. There's training on the 28th from 9 till 12.
That's in the morning.
That's the morning, yes. And then we have a lunchtime at 1. I know there's people that's coming for lunch as well. And then at 2, we have the reunion. At the reunion, you're going to find guys who were in our program 14 years ago who had all the kind of mental illnesses, schizo, bipolar. Some of the rehabs couldn't take them and they sent them to us. We had just started. And we said, yes, let's take them.
Wow.
One of these guys, I won't mention his name now. He's a director of his own company and works another company. He just built his second house now. He's got a wife, 2 children, beautiful family. And that's what God can do. And we've got many, many.
Many
success
stories.
There's going to be many of those guys there.
Wow.
On that day, pastors, evangelists, Some of them are going to be there. And then I'm launching the book. So part of the reunion would be the book launch. So we're having everyone come there.
Yes.
And the place is going to be packed out.
It's going to be amazing.
I know it's going to be packed out already. Just with everyone calling in and saying, we're coming, we're 20. We're coming from Worcester. We're coming from here.
I'm coming.
So all of our network, our whole network will be there on that day. Everyone that we've gone out and helped. And when we used to go out and help, and still today we go out and help.
It's so encouraging.
We go out and help them without any expectation. You see, many people have expectation. You must give me this. You must give me that. We got no expectation. We need the money. We need billions. We need millions. And so you can give all of that, but we don't expect you to. Because Jesus gave me my salvation for free.
Yes.
Thing I do, I give my life 100% to him.
Amen. Amen.
There we go.
Oh, that's a powerful, powerful, powerful ending to that. Family and friends, if you want to know more about our guests and about us, please WhatsApp us on 0817291657. Our Telegram number is exactly the same, 0817291657. SMS us on 37988 and normal fees are applicable there. Our counseling department is 021-9177-000, option 1. And let us see how we can assist you, guide you, and possibly even help you send you off to some assistance at Loftal International. Thank you so much, Pastor Ulrich. You and Loftal is just doing amazing work throughout the world. You're all over in the USA, all over, and just such a powerful ministry that goes down and into the people's needs and meet them where they're at and raise them into greatness. So thank you, and may the Lord just bless you and your wife, and your book launch may be highly successful and may touch many, many lives. And may we just trust the Lord for breaking the chains of addiction. So
thank
please
you.
Go to these conferences. If you see them, go onto their website.
Yeah.
You'll get all the information.
Me.
They can contact you. Just give us your number.
Yeah, my number is 076-036-9908. Let me repeat it again. 076-036-9908.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, and it was such a privilege. And family and friends, we'll see you next week, same time. Stick to the rules and have a great, great, wonderful, blessed weekend. And please go out there, love each other, take care, and look after each other, and share the love of Jesus to each and every one. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.